What do you want to play, Sam?
We're going to play Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We're all going to sing it, too.
Welcome you into another edition of Meet Me at Mutual, another simulcast edition, if you will, as the Cardinal game got started late tonight on Friday, the 18th of May. Got started late with the rain, and so the Cardinals and the Phillies have just really gotten underway, so we'll try not to. Hopefully we have a lot of things like last week to react to, a lot of home runs and stuff that seems to be unlikely, but we'll try it and see. In case this is your first time listening, because it pretty much have to be for us, you not to know, I am your host, Daniel Shopto, C70 at the bat. At the Cardinal Conclave, C70 at the bat is the, and at C70 on Twitter, I think I'm saying same time. With me is Alan Medlock from the Redbird Daily and AMedlock1 on the Twitters. So far, nobody has been hurt doing this show. That may not last. We will see. You never know. Cardinals have been active this week, and most weeks, and not in a good way, most weeks when they have made moves, they have made moves with people going up and down to Memphis. You know, this week it's pretty much all disabled list. I counted it up earlier today, and the Cardinals have made 15 moves during the month.
Wow.
And it's the 18th day of the month. So yeah, they're pretty much going at a move a day, it feels like. But this week, since we last recorded, because Tyler Lyons went on the DL the day we recorded last time, so we've talked about that a bit. Since then, Adam Wainwright got activated off the disabled list, and John Brebbia went down. Then Adam Wainwright went back on the disabled list, and we'll get to that in a little bit. Jack Clarity came up. Then Luke Gregerson went on the DL, and John Brebbia came up. Then Carson Kelly went on the DL. Adam Wainwright moved to the 60-day DL, and Steve Barron came up. And then today, Paul DeJong and Matt Bowman go on the DL, while Yairo Munoz and Tyler O'Neill come up from Memphis. A lot in there, a lot of things that have some significant ramifications. Let's start with the most recent stuff. Let's start with DeJong. We'll get to Bowman maybe in a little bit, but DeJong is huge. We watched last night the ball, just kind of dropped right there on his hand. And, for a minute there, they didn't even want to call it a hit by pitch. But DeJong's perfectly fine, it seems like. And then today we find out not only is it a fracture, but a fracture that requires a plate to be installed. They did the surgery tonight. Alan, you talked to some people in the medical field this week. And what does this mean for DeJong? What does this mean for recovery? What's this all about?
This will be 6 weeks minimum, being a non-throwing hand issue. It will be, this is from, if anybody didn't know, I work in medicine. I work in orthopedics. A good friend of mine is an orthopedic surgeon here in Tulsa, and I kind of get a lot of the injury skinny from him. 6 weeks minimum, non-throwing hand, but it may take a while to get his strength back. And that's what I was kind of mostly concerned about, too, because hand injuries can kind of linger a little bit. And in theory, a fifth metatarsal fracture is called a boxer's fracture. And it's usually what happens from impact through a boxer's fracture, like a punch. That's why you get it. So it's actually not it's a very common injury, and it's a very easy fix. But you still have to get a plate on there. There's things that you can add to a plate being biologic stuff that can speed the healing. At his age, the bone will come back strong, and he probably won't, it won't affect him much. But it still takes time for bone to heal, and that's usually a month to 6 weeks. So that's what, that's where we are. So it's gonna be, it's the bottom hand of the bat. It's where he generates a lot of bat speed. Probably be an issue for a little bit. It really sucks because there was two guys that you feel like are super important to the team, and they both play up the, well, the three guys that I think are the most important on this team all play up the middle, but I say that just about with every team, because whenever I build my team, it starts from catcher and goes up the middle. But any extended time without Molina and DeYoung, I felt like they would be in a little bit of trouble. So hopefully that Molina comes back a little bit quicker than we expected, which I think is going to happen. But the DeYoung injury is, it sucks. You get a little bit of mixed signals from management, where Mo said that Munoz will see a lot of the action, which I agree with. And Matheny said it will probably be Jerko. I could see Matheny just doing that just to not award any spot to Munoz right away. We kind of know how Matheny operates a little bit. I think it probably will be Munoz the most. I will say this. I do not think that the Cardinals go 6 weeks with Garcia, Jerko, and Munoz as the shortstop options. I'm not saying it's going to be Machado, but I think there will be another name added to the mix before it's all said and done. And a little bit of the reason I'm thinking on that is you can't count on DeYoung coming back this season and being Paul DeYoung. I think you're going to need another option. So I think that there's some names out there that they may kick the tires on. I don't know of any free agents that would be beneficial, because at this point you're going to be 2 to 3 weeks before they can get back anyway, and you could probably keep your head above water from that point on. But I think that, you know, maybe like a Profar, names like that we've heard in the past are probably names to keep an eye on. And that may be shooting a little high. They may even have to go, you know, lower rung of guys. But I would just be really shocked if that's the direction they go for a full 6 week period.
Well, Profar, I looked him up today. At least if I think I looked at it right, he's not hitting very much. I mean, he's hitting more than half the Cardinals, so that's not saying anything. But you know, if Texas is struggling, and I believe I saw they were open for business.
Yes.
That, you know, it may not take as much. I mean, Profar has been, you know, one of those things that, you know, we were talking, 4 years ago or so, people were throwing around that Oscar Tavares for Jackson Profar, and that's, his star has fallen significantly from that. So, but you know, maybe that.
Well, no. It's funny. You know, we feel like he's an old name, and he just turned 25.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Surprised me when I looked him up today. I was like, whoa, because, you know, I realized that his name came from we heard the name when he was a Little League World Series star and all that. So the name's been around a long time. I'm sure that had a lot to do with it. But I was surprised to see that as well. He's one of those to where, just athleticism alone, I think, would benefit you and improve your club. And I think he would probably be a change of scenery candidate, which all this stuff makes sense, which means it's never going to happen.
Well, and I'm not saying, I mean, what I was getting at is I don't know that the cost is going to be that prohibitively
high. Exactly.
Now, you know, if for some reason Texas actually plans on playing him after the, you know, after they get rid of some other players, and maybe it's a different story, but yeah, I think that you're right. Trying to cover 6 weeks with these three guys is going to be difficult. And so I do think that they're going to have to make some move. And yes, everybody's going to start talking about Manny Machado. And no, yeah. I said in a message to somebody else, an injury like this probably raises the chances of them going after Machado from 0% to 2%. you know, they're still not likely to do that because, you know, unless Baltimore overvalues people. Well, let put it this way. Somebody said, I don't remember who it was. I think it was even a writer. I may be wrong. But somebody had this idea. I mean, was it Jeff Gordon? It was Jose De Jesus Ortiz, I believe. They had an article about a week ago or something about Manny Machado. And and that it wouldn't cost as much as Ozuna did because he'd just be a rental. And I'm like, if it doesn't cost any more than what they gave up for Ozuna, you should have done that yesterday. That's not going to happen. Manny Machado is going to cost you quite a bit. It's going to cost you something significant, because even if he's going to walk at the end of the year, Baltimore can't afford to let him go for spare change. You just play it out the year and get your pick. But you can't afford to let him go for the Sandy Alcantara equivalent. So that's, I don't think the Cardinals are going to go that way. And, again, if they wanted to try the Mark McGwire, Jim Edmonds, Scott Rolen thing of, trading for a guy and signing him, yeah, but Machado's not doing that. Machado's going on the free agent market, and maybe the only chance you have of him is to have him come play for a few months here in St. Louis, get used to the city. But we thought that with Jason Hayward, we saw that with other people. It doesn't necessarily work. I do want to kind of get into, but I do think they'll do something. And Profar's a good idea. It's probably somebody like that, somebody that can play short, but that they don't mind supplanting when DeJong comes back. If you got him to Machado, you can move him back to third, or you can move DeJong to third or whatever. But anybody else, you get them and they play for, try to play the league average even for 6 weeks, and then you put them on the bench, or you move them to third or someplace else when DeJong comes back. But let's get into this a little bit, into this seeming disconnect. It was pretty blatant today. You see the tweets that John Mozeliak says one thing and Mike Matheny says the other. And I get what you're saying, that he didn't want to just hand anything over to Munoz. But on the other hand, wouldn't that be like that ideal of giving him that confidence of saying, look, you're our guy for the next 6 weeks. Just go out and play. Don't worry about it. I don't know. I guess, in theory, it works for different people. So,
yeah, I personally wish they would have done that, because I felt like that was kind of the springboard for Diaz. Because ultimately it was one of those, when they finally gave him the job is when he started hitting, mm-hmm. 2 years ago, which obviously he fell off the map. But that's not what you're expecting right now. You're not expecting a long-term guy. If Munoz comes in and plays as well as he did in the spring, well, you may not miss much. And then you look at it as a huge bonus when DeJong gets back. So I was hoping they would kind of do that. I felt like they probably didn't want to throw him in the fire tonight. And I think there may be one of those to where the bats are so bad right now that you have to go with the proven thing. And this is one way to get Carpenter, Martinez, Jerko, and Wong all in the lineup at the same time. Not saying that all of those are beneficial, but that's something we've kind of been hoping to see all year, just to get Jerko in the lineup a little bit more. So that may have been what he was thinking as well. I say all this, and I'm almost positive that Garcia will probably start at short tomorrow afternoon, and may likely do that on Sunday, and then we'll be scratching our heads and wondering why Munoz is up. That's one of the things that kind of grow frustrating, because we think that just allowing Munoz a little bit of time, the bright lights were too bright for him when he came up. Mm. We talked about it. You and I talked about it when Kyle was on. We all kind of said the exact same thing. Well, he went down and played pretty well in Memphis. Probably came down to earth a little bit. Bring him back up. See what you can get out of this. See what kind of numbers you can produce. See if he responds well. Makes a lot of sense, but a lot of the things we say make a lot of sense. And we're not on the inside. We don't know what's going on in those deals, but it seems like these are the kind of issues that get messed up and don't play out how you would seemingly think they probably should.
Yeah, I think this is something that we really should keep an eye on, especially over the next week or two, and see who does start. Because if Jerko has a lot of shortstop, then I got to wonder what that's going to do to the front office when, Mo has come out. And, Mo is going to advocate for those minor leaguers to play. Like you said, if nothing else, to find out what they've got in them or give them a shot. And I don't think he wants to see Jed Jerko playing shortstop all the time. Tonight, sure, why not? But so if Jerko plays 4 or 5 games at shortstop, Sometimes I think that this front office gives Mike Matheny all the rope he can handle, and see how long his noose is going to be. Because at some point in time, these decisions are going to come back to haunt him if they don't work. And then maybe it'll work and it won't worry about it. I mean, he's gotten away with a lot of things, but, you know, we've said it a lot. Two times missing the playoffs, a team that, even though it is in the hunt right now, is not a juggernaut by any means in any stretch. You know, if they miss again after all the work they did this offseason, that seems pretty warm. So, I think, you know, we talked about it during the year. This was the one injury that the Cardinals really didn't have the depth to absorb internally. You know, pitching, they've got outfielders, they've got even catcher. As much as you hate to see Yadier Molina go down, you had Carson Kelly, which is another story we'll get to in a little bit probably. But, you know, pretty much anything that could go wrong anywhere else, they could handle it, except shortstop. So that's where it happens, is at shortstop. Of course, again, with the way this season has gone, everybody's going to get it eventually. So it's not like this is the only injury they had this year. There's been plenty of them. So, you know, I hope that the break, you know, I was kind of talking to Kyle a little bit on Twitter today, and we bandied about the idea that a break is better than a torn ligament, at least for, you know, when you return and stuff like that. So hopefully, you know, he'll get that stroke. I'm sure he'll probably have to spend a little, you know, well, normally I would say he'd have to spend a week or so in Memphis when he gets healed up to get his timing back and stuff like that. Cardinals tend to not let those guys play as long as they should on rehab starts, I feel. But normally you would say you get a week or so of games and stuff, and they'll probably rush him back after like two, so.
Sure.
But anyway, you're right. You're looking at 2 months, which is basically the All-Star break. Right. I mean, 6 weeks plus, you know, and that's probably the 6 weeks is a short end, right? I mean, we're talking at least six, and it could be more.
Yeah. I would think that you probably won't see baseball activities for a month. I would think, you know, begin swinging, you know, one of those things, because he's going to be in a cast for 2.5-3 weeks, you know, one of those. So yeah, you're probably right. I would say a return after six is possible, but yeah, you're probably right. It's probably closer to 2 months.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, like I said, that's getting it around the All-Star break, and you know, that's just a couple of weeks before the trade deadline. Now, again, though, John Mozeliak's not waiting until the trade deadline to make a deal for a shortstop, if he's going to make one, and that's probably something that happens, you know, in the next week or two, if he's going to do it. And if he doesn't do it in a couple of weeks, then it probably isn't going to happen, feels like to me, because the longer you cover with those three guys, the more you think you probably can do it.
Well, and I think you almost have to do it just for just like, I'm a huge Jerko guy, and anybody that's listening to this show knows that. But 130-game Jerko is pretty dang good. In overexposed Jerko, we see that what happens. He kind of runs out of steam in the second half. Well, him playing short and playing third, you know, and, you know, kind of putting that added stress on the body and added stress, mental stress on it, that's going to be a detriment to Jerko, which in turn is going to be a detriment to the team. You know, just, I think you always say this, perfect. I like Greg Garcia in the role that he has.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty decent pitch hitter. And he can get overexposed rather quickly. You know, that's, you're going to try to avoid that. So all the signs point to some move being made, and it may be underwhelming. I mean, they may go get Cliff Pennington. They may go get Stephen Drew, see what he's got. You know, it may be something like that, but there will be a name brought up. I think they think they're close. I think they believe they're close enough to contending. Well, I think it is going to be a little bit upper level guy that they go get. And the Profar deal makes a lot of sense, because he is a free agent after the year. And it's, they stay away from the superstars and giving away a lot for that. I don't think you would have to do that for Texas, just like you said earlier. So yeah, that's how I feel. I think all signs point to some move being made. It may be another one of those where it's just underwhelming on the surface and we're going to get a lot of negative Twitter feedback, which is surprising because we never get that, you know?
Yeah.
So that's one of those. So yeah, I honestly do think that something would be done. I feel like, you know, as open as you and I are talking about it now, that it's probably that I think everybody would agree with us, basically.
Probably. All right, well, the Cardinals also put Matt Bowman on the DL today, surprisingly, not with any, you know, arm falling off issues, but blisters to the index and middle finger, which, again, now I will say, and I've kind of looked, I have to look at it again. They haven't used Bowman quite as much as they did at the beginning of the year. That being said, It was getting to the point where they had to do something with him. Whether it was, and I now, if it's blisters and that's what's caused the problem, fine and dandy. Hopefully it is. But he's given up runs in four of his last five outings. You know, he's not looked sharp really at all. Except for the, I guess, the inning in two thirds he pitched against the Twins where he didn't allow any runs. But it's been a rough month for him. You can go all the way back to the Cubs series where he gave up two runs. I mean, he's given up a lot since then. And he struggled. He really kind of struggled all year long. You know, opening day we remember with the three runs he gave up in a third of an inning. He's had his spurts and but he's not looked like the Bowman that we've seen. And again, it's easy to point to overuse, and there's probably a factor of that. You know, that said, you know, what does this mean for Matt Bowman, I wonder? Because there are a lot of arms, and when he gets back, if everybody's going, or if everybody's in a spot where they can't be done anything with, he may have to spend some time in Memphis. And I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, completely agree with that. And I've wondered this since for probably the last 2 to 3 weeks of he had options left. I wondered why his name was never brought up anymore, because it always seemed like Brevia Myers. That's the only two names now. And it got to a point to where I fully believe that they tried to get that third inning out of Brevia in San Diego just so they could send him back down easier.
Yeah.
You know, I think that was the plan all along. So I think they like how that tandem was working out. But I wondered why Bowman didn't get a little more recognition for that, as in, that may be a poor choice of words, but why he was off the radar on any demotion in that situation, because it made sense for him to go work some things out. So I don't know. I agree with that. I think that he probably does need some time in Memphis. I figured we would see that whether it was a blister or not. So yeah, it makes complete sense, and there are guys waiting that are ready to go, you know, so it just it too many signs point to that being the right move.
Yeah, I mean, and again, if somebody's struggling, and we've seen plenty this year that Memphis Express will rotate, so he may not be in there very long, but
true.
It is a little surprising that, well, and I say that, I think there's a lot of cynical people that would say it was not surprising because he's one of Mike Matheny's guys and that Matheny wasn't going to let him go to Memphis, if you will. But, you know, as much as we try to say that, you know, we give a lot of blame to Matheny for the players that are there, you know, the final responsibility for that has to sit with Mo and Gersh. I mean, they're the ones that give him the roster. Now, how he uses it is up to him. But if they think that Matt Bowman needs time in Memphis, then they need to send Matt Bowman to Memphis. For some reason, that did not seem to be on their minds, even as Brevia and Myers both have done fairly good jobs, and Bowman has struggled. And maybe that's, you know, there's some idea that, you know, if they've been long there long enough, it's harder to send them down. But, you know, Bowman was a Rule 5 guy just 2 years ago. I mean, it's not that he's got this huge history that, you know, he's a 6 or 7 year guy, and you don't send those guys down, or you have to worry about, you know, various other issues. You know, he's 2+ years in the big leagues, shouldn't have been an issue. I mean, he should be able to do that without it being, unheard of. And yet, you're right, that never was, discussed, by anybody, I mean, not even media or anything. I know that the fans talked about him going down, but that's about it. It never seemed to cross anybody's mind that he should go, even though he has 3 option years left. So, I don't know. I don't know what that is, and maybe that's a mindset that, you know, Brevy and Myers are the guys that have been doing this, so that's why they're going to continue to do it. And a lot of times, you got to say, I mean, a lot of times when Brevy and Myers have been sent down, it's because they spent that 3 innings the night before or whatever, and they're not going to be able to be used. And Bowman hasn't had that, so I don't know. I think it's a good question. It's an interesting question to ask. But for right now, he's out, and the bullpen is the bullpen. They did not bring and it's kind of interesting that they did not bring anybody up. You know, I kind of keep getting keep forgetting on who's actually active and who's not.
Yeah.
But you've got, you know, you've got Jack Flaherty still up. I mean, at least according to my roster sheet, they didn't send him, haven't sent him back down yet. And Gant's up and things like that. There's some interesting arms out there, you know. And of course, then Luke Weaver goes out last night and what pitched? Did he go 7? He went 7, didn't he? Or pretty close to it. And so we did have to use all those arms. But and I don't know. Maybe that's why they went and brought 2 hitters up instead of another pitcher. But I did think that was a little bit interesting. And it's, I guess, it gets us back to.
They should be a bullpen man, they should be an arm short to where they normally like to be, but to where I think I would prefer them to be, you know, right? I hope that makes sense.
So they have 13 hitters, 12 pitchers?
Yeah, that should be the case.
Wow. Because I haven't had been at that in a long while, and like I said, you know, I usually try to keep that in my head of where they're at.
Well, so many out of curiosity.
Yeah, he's going back and forth so much. I'm like, I can't, you know, by the time I get one thing in my head, they've made another move.
Yeah, it's very true. And I like I said, I may be wrong about that, but I thought that the, with Munoz and O'Neill coming up, that you would have been short a pitcher, you know, than what has been the norm for the roster.
Probably.
So, and I kind of like the idea that, they are looking for sparks somewhere. You know, that's why I think that Munoz had a necessity. O'Neill, he's kind of forced his way into the equation, but he's got to play. I mean, that we've got to see more of that too. And, you know, I thought Kyle had a point. He said, you know, you've got to see what O'Neill can do. And that may be at the, Bader and Ozuna may lose some at bats to it. And I kind of agree with that, to be honest with you. Just because you're in a basically, yeah. I don't know, you're just shy of 2 weeks of being in a prolonged slump. You know, and then something needs to happen. You know, it's even tonight, you know, 2 double plays in 2 innings. You know, Martinez seems to be coming down to earth a little bit right now and may have, you know, I know that you've brought that up the last 2 shows to where he's kind of getting a pass to where the spotlight's on Ozuna, Fowler, and Carpenter right now, but you know, he's not tearing the cover off the ball either. So I don't know. It's frustrating times. It's one of those to where I'm glad this is happening in May. I just hope they don't bury themselves with it. But it's one of those you almost expect to lose at this point until you get Molina back and one of the bats starts hitting. You know, like Carpenter's showing some signs, like going to the left field, and his swing actually looked decent the last 2 nights, and he's kind of showing some signs of coming out of it a little bit. So maybe a little bit of optimism, but we'll look at Pena hit. He got another hit.
And that is pretty interesting that, yeah. I will say, Jose Martinez had been slumping off. He's actually heated back up. I'm looking back through just back to May 6th, not counting tonight. It's like 9 games. He's hitting .324 over that time period. So it's...
I think he has 2 3-hit games in that time.
Yeah.
I think that's what carries him. Okay.
A 2-hit game against Minnesota. He's got a 3-hit game against the Padres. and he's got a three-hit game against the Phillies last night. So
I thought it was close. I mean, that makes me feel a little bit better. I kind of felt like the spotlight was so bright on the big three being Ozuna, Fowler, Karp that he was kind of getting a little bit of a pass on it. But
but even when he was hitting, I mean, even if he was hitting 240 over that time span, which was low for what he had been doing, I mean, 240 out of most of these guys, those three guys plus Wong, and that's four other starters. So you got a lot of other issues before you get to Jose Martinez, at that rate. So yeah. I can understand why he was getting a bit, I wouldn't say overlooked. I mean, we kind of looked at it. He knew he was slacking off. He wasn't the, on fire here that he was early on, but he's bouncing back a little bit. I mean, obviously Jose Martinez has to hit because he's not going to field. But right now, there's so many other problems that it's like push him down a little bit on the list. So, you mentioned him. We'll go ahead and as we continue our walk through the wounded, you mentioned Francisco Peña playing because Carson Kelly goes on the disabled list with a hamstring issue. It doesn't sound like it's a severe thing. It doesn't sound like, I mean, he may be back at the end of the 10 days or soon after, but it just feels like it's another blow for Kelly, a guy that really kind of needs, looked like he had an opportunity here with Molina going down. He was already kind of splitting some time with Peña. I feel like it was almost like a 60-40 split. He had the bigger end, but it wasn't, we're spoiled. I will admit it. We're spoiled to Yadier Molina playing, 15 days in a row or whatever. So if a catcher takes 2 days off, we're like, well, Matheny's not playing any. Well, no, that's normal usage. We're just not used to that. But it did feel like Peña might have been playing a little bit more than we thought for the fact that Kelly, we thought this was going to be a nice run for Kelly now. And then he gets injured. By the time he gets back, Molina might be back. And so he could be back to Memphis. It's got to be frustrating for him to never be able to really get his feet on the ground.
Yeah, and I felt bad for him because I love the fact that he had that RBI single in Minnesota. I texted you and I said, you talk about somebody that needed a hit. That was he needed that. Mm-hmm. And then to come up sore. One thing that concerns me about Kelly a little bit, and this will not be a popular comment, Matheny, who was a good catcher, who was a really good defensive catcher, who manages the Cardinals, of course, doesn't trust Kelly. Mm-hmm. And that's worrisome to me. That's because it could be seen two ways, and I could actually see it both directions to where, Matheny doesn't trust anybody that's a new guy. But it does kind of bother me that Peña is their safety net a little bit in this situation. So I don't know. I'd love to see him succeed, but he hasn't really been given the opportunity to do so. And then this year when he was, he hasn't really taken the bull by the horns. The jury's still out with me, but I'm really skeptical just in the way that Matheny's kind of handled the Kelly situation.
Well, and I agree. I think that Kelly has not grabbed hold of what he needs to do. But what bothers me also is that this feels like another one of those situations where Yadier Molina is directing traffic. Because Yadi has, and fairly, he's got a significant bond, it feels like, with Peña. Whether it's because of, a shared heritage, or it's, because of, the fact that Peña is not a threat to him. I mean, if Kelly actually got going, if Molina started to slip, Kelly would be a threat to Yadier playing every day. Francisco Peña is never going to play every day with Yadier Molina around. There's lots of different things, but it feels like ever since spring training even that Yadier has found a way to be more involved with Francisco Peña's career than I feel like he ever has with Carson Kelly. And that may not be accurate because we're not there. But just what we see and how things go, it just feels like he's given his seal to Pena, and the club is, or Matheny especially, is honoring that and saying, hey, if it's good enough for Yachty, it's good enough for me. And I don't know, you know, again, you can ascribe a whole bunch of motives to that if you want to. And being how much Yachty likes his position, I mean, that's, I think some of them are fair.
Yeah. I mean, it goes back to, you know, I think we've seen it. We've all suspected it, and we've seen it a lot this year that Molina probably drives a lot of the train on those situations. Mm-hmm. You know, we see the Higgs deal, and you see the Pena deal, and yeah, I can completely see where you're coming from on that. And that's such a detriment to Kelly. Kind of worries you about, you know, his development. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it is what it is. I mean, you know, when Kelly's on the roster and we're clamoring for Molina, you know, so that says a lot.
Yeah, and like you said, I mean, no matter what, Kelly has had chances. And again, I know Kyle would argue, and I think he's got a fair argument, that Kelly's never had a lot of, you know, necessarily backing, but more straight playing time. You know, he's not played for 5 out of 7 games or something like that. It's just, we're just stuck. You know, he's just kind of here and there, and he's not been able to get his footing. So, but, you know, sometimes you don't get that. Sometimes you just got to claim it. And that's a difficult thing. Like you said, he got the chance in Minnesota, got a run in, and he had a base hit. I think, you know, what, the last game he was in, he got a base hit, and then now he's out. So, it's tough. I don't know what the future holds for Kelly. Whether it's here, whether it's somewhere else, whether he's just never going to get a chance to develop. I don't know. We'll find out. But anyway, until then, you know, Pena is the starter. Steve Barron has called up, and if you thought Francisco Pena didn't play a lot when Yadier Molina was there, Steve Barron's really not going to play a lot with even with Francisco Pena starting, because Barron is, he's not a hitter from all indications. But to do that, the Cardinals had to move Adam Wainwright to the 60-day DL, or they had to find a way to clear off a 40-man spot somehow, and that's the way the Cardinals did it. Wainwright pitched Sunday, and then went on the DL Monday or Tuesday, whatever the next, you know, the next time. They didn't play Monday, I don't guess. They went on Tuesday. You texted me after watching that game. I didn't get a chance to watch it, but you texted me and said there was a very notable sense of finality when Mike Matheny went out to get Adam Wainwright in that game.
Yeah, without a doubt. And that's, he seemed compromised after like the second hitter. And you're just like, okay, let's give this a chance to see what happens. You know, they're in the second inning, they get somebody up, they're warming them up, he can't throw a strike. It was really, what was funny is you just had that, it was an ominous feeling the entire start. And then Maddux came out whenever they were warming. It may have very well been Bowman. I can't remember who relieved him, because I was still so like,
Gant came
well, yeah. It was immediate and kind of made sense that it happened that way. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Maddux comes out to talk to him, and you can tell they share a laugh about something, and they both openly laugh on the mound, and you're thinking, I can only imagine what's being said. You know, that this is one of those that feels like, you know, good pat on the back, good job. Hell of a job what you've done for us, you know, one of those situations, because Maddux has to be in a tough situation on that. You know, he's coaching the aging superstar who's basically been the de facto pitching coach, you know, for 5 years. You know, so he's coming out, and then they make that. But whenever Matheny came out to get him is one of those, is almost kind of a tearjerker, and it was real subtle, but there was just you know, there was the embrace that he had with him. He spoke volumes to me. I was like, this isn't a, hey, catch him next time, you know, type deal. This is one of those that something's going to happen, and you hear about the DL stint before they even, you know, leave the clubhouse. You know, one of those. Right. So you just knew something was going on. So, yeah, it was tough to watch on Sunday, but there was a lot of signs that kind of pointed to it's going to be a while before we see him again. I think he may get the novelty start in September. Some appearances, you know, at home, but I think that will probably be it. And, you know, he's going to have to get healthy, and we're not going to see him for, you know, a couple months regardless now anyway. So, yeah, so kind of a sad deal.
Yeah, and like I said it written, but I know I said it on Gateway last Sunday because we recorded after that start. Tara Woman and I did. The best realistic case, I mean, obviously the best case is Adam Wainwright gets healthy, comes back, dominates, and, we don't have to think about this, but that's not likely to happen. The best realistic case for the Cardinals was that he stays on the DL until September. And then, like you said, gets a appearance here or two, one or two appearances in Busch Stadium as a reliever. You hope the race is spread out enough one way or another, that you don't have to worry about putting Adam Wainwright into a game that might decide, whether they go to October or not. But, it is very tough to deal with, to watch a guy that all, most everybody, whether, us, we're old enough to remember the J.D. Drew trade and the fact that there was this Wainwright kid involved in it. Some others that are younger than us don't much remember a time without Adam Wainwright being on the Cardinal roster. And so that kind of gets to us, to think that this might be it. But that's it. The Cardinals, today, again, when they move on the 60-day, they've done tests. They can't figure out why the elbow hurts. But it really kind of sounds like it's the same kind of thing that was last year, where he was hurting and he couldn't, he tried to get by on guile and deception and it's tough to do that, especially when you don't have much at all with you. I mean, crafty junk ballers are a nice thing to think about in baseball history. They don't last real long, especially not in this day and age where everybody's patient and waiting for a pitch in the middle of the zone. I hope that he gets another chance to pitch on Busch Stadium mound. I hope he gets to pitch in a game that they're up by 7 and he can pitch the 9th. He and Yachty can give another hug. But the sad thing is that if the Cardinals go to October, it looks like right now he would not be on that roster. And it's tough because the best moments in Cardinal history, I mean, 2011 is that moments we'll always remember. Adam Wainwright wasn't part of that team being hurt. It feels like there's been a lot of great moments. And then, I mean, obviously he, 2006, he was there for that. Sure. He's got his postseason moments, but it feels like sometimes a lot of great things happen when he's not around.
I know we've talked about it on the show before, and that seems to happen. I mean, he'll wear a for several reasons, but the biggest one, he'll wear a red jacket someday. And a lot of it's going to have to do with that 2006 run. But yeah, it was funny. I mean, if you remember, a lot of people thought the Cardinals were left for dead in 06 or in 11 when he was out. They were like, they're not going to have the pitching to recover. And then they rallied around that fact. We're really good. You also had Carpenter, which will carry a lot of load for you. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it kind of stinks to hear that. But yeah, you do hope he has a holiday type send off.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the best thing, is to have that kind of same kind of thing and be a little different as a pitcher, but still hope for something like that. Cardinals taking it to the inning here.
The topic being heavy of Wainwright, I haven't been able to make my noises and stuff. I did on the fam single and got myself.
Kind of heard that one, but
yeah. So they opened up the Phillies opened up the door for them. They got Carpenter on a fam double the score run. The Carpenter moved over to third on a good at bat. It was really telling, though, on a 2-2 pitch, he fouled the ball off and he fouled it down the first baseline, and it was a ball that was in the right-handed hitter's box. And they did a snapshot real quick of the suite with Gersh, Moe, and I'm not sure. I couldn't really see from my angle who was in the top. They were all doing the every one of them did the Carpenter hand twist to foul the ball off. It was funny, and I was really wondering. I was like, okay, I wonder if there's some mechanical flaw that he's had, because I've kind of thought he had this whole time. And I was just thinking, you know, your mind starts racing when you see that stuff. But it was a pretty cool shot for them. And I've got the volume down, so they may have even been talking about it. You know, Danny Mac may have been. But I thought it was interesting on that. But other than that, Martinez gets on, then Ozuna hits another ground ball right to the third baseman, and he throws wide of the base to go second, third, then Jerko hits a single. So Arrieta's maybe coming undone a little bit, too. But
it's, yeah, 4-0 right now, but yeah. That just breaks up a little bit. Those are the injuries for this week. Let's kind of touch on some of the updates on this thing, and I feel like I said, we hadn't really even gotten to anything yet. It's just all these injury reports. It's just so much of what this team is right now. It's really surprising that they're able to do much of anything, given how many people are hurt. Tyler Lyons, patron pitcher of the blog, will be pitching in Springville tomorrow. As somebody pointed out, Alex Reyes is going to pitch in that game, and then Tyler Lyons. So those double-A guys are going to have
and
quite...
And Kyle. Yeah. That's why Kyle made that comment. I thought that was funny.
But anyway, it sounds like he, you know, knowing the Cardinals, he'll probably get one. He might get another relief appearance, and then he comes up, which, again, causes roster issues, you know. Mm-hmm. If you know, probably somebody like Brebbia or Myers goes back down. But it's just one of those things, unfortunately. Of course, it figures, you know, like I said, St. Louis Cup Joe Schwartz wrote a nice article about Greg Holland's recovery, and then he goes out and bombs, and then he was advocating for Brebbia quite a bit, and then Brebbia comes out and lays a home run last night. So Joe says he's going to start writing about the opponents now, and that may be the best thing. Anyway, Dominic Leon, it says he's got nerve damage, but it's not necessarily going to be thoracic outlet syndrome, which we always remember from Chris Carpenter, and I think Jaime Garcia had it, and some others have had it. It's something that nobody really recovers from. You know, they come back, they can pitch, but they're not necessarily themselves, and they're still dealing with that thing. Doesn't seem to be that, but they don't really know what it is. They say it doesn't require surgery, but he's out until he's back. You know, Leon didn't get a chance to make a whole lot of impression. Obviously, he struggled a little bit early on, and then kind of gotten on a groove, it felt like. I don't know. I mean, you'd like to have him in that bullpen, I think, for the most part, but it just sounds like this is one of those situations that might be lingering on all year, and
yeah,
you know, really, we may not see him again this year.
Well, I don't think it'll be soon, and I think there was enough of an undertone of hey, this is going to require a lot of rest for him to get right. This is what we're looking at here, and it's still pretty vague. But I probably anticipate him going to the 60-day DL whenever Reyes is available.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of those. So we may not see him for a few weeks or a few months. That's what kind of the feeling that I get, unless there's another injury that pops up, and which could, knock on wood, will probably happen. But I could almost see that being the situation with him, to where, you know, he's shut down for, you know, time being, and seeing if you can't get him right maybe by the end of the season to definitely have him. You know, and I hated that, because I trusted he and Norris probably more than any other reliever out there.
Yeah, it is a tough thing to deal with, because he was starting to become a little bit. I mean, like I said, we remember that game where he gave up the tying and go ahead homers in the ninth, and he had a couple other outings like that that were a bit of a struggle. But for the most part, he seemed like he was getting down to be that sixth or seventh inning guy, able to come in and kind of turn it over to Norris and, you know, hopefully Holland, things of that nature. But you're right; that's a really good point. I think that he might go on that 60-day DL to free up a spot for Reyes, because it's going to be difficult to figure out where he's, you know, how they're going to get Reyes on the 40-man. So that might be the way to swap the guys, and that seems fair enough to me. Luke Gregerson Of course, we mentioned him. He went on the DL. He had a sore right shoulder. I think there's an interesting quote here from Mo. It says, given how much he's thrown and the volume over the years, it's not something that's unexpected. There's always a risk in signing a veteran reliever who has usage. Yeah, there is. We knew that. It's one of the reasons people tend not to try to sign veteran relievers. They just try to grow their own. Given the deal that they gave Gregerson, this has not exactly been an auspicious start to it.
Yeah, it's people have been talking about the velocity being down for a while, you know, and I know that McLaughlin said something on Bernie a couple weeks ago that was kind of a concern with the decreased velocity, and some of his outings have been terrible. I wondered how much of the Phantom Balk call in San Diego didn't have an effect on him there in Minnesota. I don't know. I don't know if you saw that, but yeah, I don't know. It's when you see Norris performing well, and it was one of those to where you and I were both like, okay, well, this is going to work out if they put him in the bullpen, not as a starter, you know, a spot starter like they were talking about. And then you see what he's done as opposed to some of these guys that they went out and found in Gregerson, which I thought was going to be a good signing. And Holland, it really makes you think, oh, man, is that not, that's money thrown out the window a little bit.
Yeah, we'll get to Hall in a little bit. I do think we want to talk about that, but I don't want us to get too far off these injuries. And I guess the only one that's really left to discuss is Carlos Martinez, who originally they thought that he would be only going to miss a start. Now they're not really as sure, although I will say, and we find it again, there seemed to be a little bit more optimistic. Mo today said that they had an additional MRI on Martinez's right lat, and they were encouraging. It says he'll begin a throwing program Monday, probably 10 days, 2 weeks away, which is not quite as bad as we were starting to get because there was still a bit of an uncertainty. Mm-hmm. It's still going to be longer than we thought, but you know, if he's back by the end of the month, I guess it could have been worse.
Yeah, and last week we had talked about it, and I may have convinced myself or had thrown out the idea that this may have been a built-in rest type situation. I was on, and I'm trying not to backtrack on this, but I am a little bit, unfortunately. I thought that it was either a rest situation or he was a really hurt situation. So hopefully, nice play, Fowler. But Fowler just stole a home run, by the way. So this sounds like this may be middle ground. I hope that it's middle ground and this isn't a precursor to some kind of shoulder injury. Doesn't sound like it, but we'll see. We've heard these medical reports before and they've lasted a lot longer than we expected.
True. It's kind of nice to have them come back and give a little bit better news. And that means that at the end of the month, you could see a rotation. Carlos Martinez, Alex Reyes, Miles Mikolas, Michael Wacha, Luke Weaver. Is that right?
I mean, I was wondering how you were going to fit it in because I didn't know if you were going to include Flaherty or not.
Yeah, I feel like everybody knows that Flaherty probably should be pitching in the big leagues on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, he's not, he has things to learn, but I don't know that Memphis can teach him anything. But that said, they're just not spot unless Weaver has pitched better. If Weaver struggled,
sure,
then maybe,
I agree.
Maybe he goes out of that spot. But with Wainwright hurt, that looks like the rotation. And, you know, honestly, that's a pretty solid rotation depending on what you get out of Michael Wacha. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's because I think that a healthy Martinez, well, I think the Martinez news today pretty much means that Reyes is going to be with the big league club after Springfield Memphis mm-hmm. starts, where I didn't think that would be the case initially. I thought if everybody was healthy, and I thought that Flaherty may slide right into that the Wainwright spot, and that Reyes may throw some more than at rehab start in Memphis. I felt like he would work down there a little bit longer than we expected until something happened, whether it be a Weaver, you know, relapse or a Waka type situation to where they get a 10-day DL stint, you know, one of those type things. But I think now with the news that it's going to be, you know, 10 days to 2 weeks, I think I think that pretty much automatically means that we'll probably see Reyes up here. But yeah, you're right. It's going to be interesting to see how they work that out. A lot of guys knocking on the door. I like John Gant. I felt like he was one of the two or three biggest surprises in St. Louis, but it's going to be a numbers game for him. You know, we had talked about this last week to where he may not be in the organization, you know, past the deadline or even sooner, but I think he's a weapon, but I just don't think that, I think it's going to be wrapped up into a number situation because it's going to be, you know, Gomber's coming and coming quick and so is Hudson. You know, so yeah, there's reinforcements ahead, but yeah, just to deal with the injuries and everything right now, the Martinez deal opens up the door for Reyes. And like I said 2 years ago, a situation where you can have Reyes and Martinez, if they're close to their peak in any kind of playoff series, yep, you stand a pretty good chance.
Hey, you talk about Gomber though. I cannot shake the feeling that Gomber's going to be part of some sort of trade.
I would, you know, and I could see that. And I also wonder, and this was even up to 2 years ago, that they viewed him as a weapon out of the bullpen. And I just wonder if we're ever going to see that.
Well, yeah, the problem is they've signed Cecil and they've got Lyons. Mm-hmm. So there's two lefties right there. And then you've got Ryan Sheriff, who's in Memphis, but is probably the next, you know, has major league experience, could come up. So I don't know if that, you know, again, I think that, you know, as a lefty, I mean, like I said, I know that he could be good, but I think it's just so telling that he came up for the 4 or 5 days that he was here. And let's see, he came up on 4/29 and went back down on 5/4. So about 5 days and never was used. And then he hasn't been in this rotation to come back up, even as they're using people like Myers and Brebbia and things like that. So I don't know. I think right now, I think they're still thinking hit him a starter. But with, you know, the five that we've talked about, and then you get Flaherty, and then you've got, I mean, coming up from behind is, you know, like Dakota Hudson and some others, maybe Ryan Helsley, perhaps even Jordan Hicks if they decide to go back to that route. Mm-hmm. It just feels like if they're going to have to give up significant talent to get somebody, and I'm not saying that they're going to trade Austin Gomber for this fill-in shortstop or anything like that, but I'm talking about if they did do Machado, which, again, they're not, but something of that nature, something significant. Gomber feels to me like the guy that they would be most likely to get rid of. And I don't, and again, I don't know that that's accurate, but that's just the feeling and the impression I get from seeing what they have done with him. You know, not bringing him up to St. Louis last year, not even letting him pitch in Memphis last year for the playoffs. And then, like I said, that kind of stuff is interesting to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. I'm going to shut my mouth about injuries. Because right after I said something about, while we were in the middle of talking about Gomber, Waka took a pretty hard comebacker right at him. So we got the training staff out, and he's got his glove off, and he's pacing. So I just wonder about this. It's right off the wrist. And, you know, here he is. I feel like I love Waka. Boy, he took it right off the forearm. Woo! Hard, too. At least it's on the meat. He's staying in. So, well, they're monitoring. We'll see if he doesn't throw this one to the fence or to the backstop.
Like, not seeing it. Alan's watching the game while I'm keeping
track. I'm probably breaking all kinds of copyright rules. I thought about that last week.
Yeah, we're disseminating the descriptions of the game without express written consent of Major League Baseball, so they may come shut us down. Anyway, we're not doing it live though. Y'all don't, you're getting on a delay by the time we actually put this show up. So maybe that helps us. Mm-hmm. anyway, just it feels the way you're describing it. It sounds like one of those things where he might finish the inning, but then after he goes and sits down and lets it stiffen up a little bit,
yeah,
he may not pitch another one.
Gosh, I hope not. I he's such a steadying force. I felt like that last year too. So you know, we'll see. But
you know, it's hard to know with Walker. I mean, he's pitched better as of late. But he's also had his struggles as well. And I know that they were talking earlier today. People, I mean, I saw some Twitter as we were, you know, starting the show about him, especially in the first inning, about having some of his best stuff of the year. And so, you know, it's kind of, if he's on for sure, he can be a very good guy. But, you know, he's gone six innings. Twice, three times this year. One time he went into the seventh. That's kind of the impression I was getting of him, even off this offseason. You may get good outings from him, but, you know, if he goes, he's probably going to be a five-inning type pitcher. And I don't know what that means for this. I mean, maybe if everybody else is going well, you can get by with a good guy like that for five or occasionally six. I don't know.
Well, and that's the one thing about he and Weaver, because they can both be pretty dominant for about five innings and even push it into the sixth a little bit. Weaver seems to be getting past that a little bit, but they're going to handle that with kids' gloves. But their starts do tend to tax the bullpen at times.
Yeah.
You know, so that's – if you can get into the fifth and sixth with Walker, I think you're pretty – you line up pretty well. But yeah, I understand. That's where we thought – where they said him being a 200-inning pitcher, you know, most of that may just not be in the future. We all took that as somebody that may go to the bullpen. This may just be what they expect.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Walker – now, I will say his last five starts, not counting tonight, and you can tack on another four scoreless to this – but he's got a 1.86 ERA over 29 innings. So now he's got, you know, 33 innings. So it's probably down to about a 1.6 or maybe a little bit, maybe closer to 1.5. 24 strikeouts, 9 walks. The walks are, well, that's a pretty decent ratio for a walk, because that was another reason. You know, sometimes he wouldn't necessarily have the control that you'd like. So, you know, if that's the kind of pitcher you're going to get, and what I said, 29 innings over 5 starts, so you're, you know, a little over 5 innings a start. You know, there's a significant amount of value there, especially if you've got people like, you know, Martinez going 7, and if you can get Weaver going into deep closer to 7, and if Reyes, I mean, Reyes will be a while before he gets past the 6th, but and then you got Michaelis, who's going to, you know, often go into the 7th.
Very often. And he's a ground ball machine. He's one of those guys that he gets a lot of people out on the first and second pitch of a bat, so he kind of saves your bullpen a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, that's him, you know, him throwing strikes. So, yeah. For sure. Nice to see Arrieta is out of the game after 3 innings, so that's that's not a bad omen for the Cardinals. All right, well, I guess we put it off enough. I don't know which is more depressing to talk about, all the injuries or the offense in general, usually.
Yeah.
You know, Cardinals have scored 4 tonight. But on the whole, this has been a time of terribleness, I guess is the best way to put it, for this offense. I mean, it's an offense that, well, you know, like last night, they were down 1-0 for a long period of time, and there was significant concern whether they could score a run.
Ooh. Yeah. Well, yeah, when you go down 2-0 and it feels 10-0, that's terrible. You know, they scored that second run last night, and I told Amber, I go, they'll never score 2 runs.
Yeah.
I go, that's pretty bad. Wasted a lot of opportunities last night, I thought.
Yeah. And, you know, they've done a little bit, you know, the Cardinals sat Carpenter all 3 games, or the last 3 games in San Diego, which was kind of surprising. He finally kind of came out of it a little bit at the end of the Twins series. In the Twins series, you know, that second game, he had 3 hits. He had a hit, and I put that quotes around it last night, because that was because the Phillies can't play defense and it fell in. It was kind of like his double against my Kyle Schwarber against the Cubs. It had no business falling, but it did. And so since nobody touched it, he got a double. But he was hitting seventh for a couple of days. And that, I don't know if that woke up the bat. I don't know if it just happened to be a couple of good games. And, you know, he's got his hit tonight. He's back up to second, but he got his hit tonight against the shift. Are we seeing, I mean, you said he looked better in that at bat. Do you think we're finally going to start seeing a little bit more of this real Carpenter, or is this just another mirage that we've seen earlier in this year?
I'm hoping that we can get back to seeing the somewhat close to a similar Carpenter of old. I hesitate to say anything about that, though, because I seem like I'm the jinx on everybody, because right when I feel like Ozuna, Fowler, Carp, Wong a little bit, and maybe even Jerko, whenever I'm kind of pushing for them to get playing time and I feel like the weight's kind of lifted off their shoulders and they're ready to go, then they fall into a slump. I think Jerko was... After the first game, and I may be wrong on some of these numbers, but after the first game in San Diego where he went off, I think he was 2 for his next 15,
yeah,
or something like that. You know, so he kind of came into a funk. So, you know, I don't know. I hope so. He seems a little more regular. I like the fact that you're seeing Carpenter go to left field more. I think that says a lot. That may have led into some of his issues, is that he was trying that and then he was getting behind and mechanically he was flawed at that point. But you know, we'll see. I hesitate to say it because I really thought this would be a strength, and I'm hoping that they prove me right at some point this season, but I lose faith by the day a little bit. I can understand Ozuna's situation. I can. The thing is, he still plays the game hard. I think he's kind of taken some at bats in the outfield this year, but I think they're all going to come around. But I just hesitate to bank on it.
Yeah, I mean, I thought with Carpenter back against the White Sox, he had that double, they had the home run that tied the game. And it was right at that time when we were getting those stories about, hey, the front office told him, you know, he's got the right process, he's having some bad luck, you know, the underlying metrics show he should be doing better than he is, blah, 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 blah. Thought, okay, well, he's got a little confidence, he's getting it going. And then he went 1 for 24, and that one hit was that fluke double over Schwarber's head that, like I said, any real outfielder catches. So I'm hesitant to think that a good game against the Twins and a fluke hit last night means that we're seeing the end. But, you know, again, seeing it today, and like you said, and you were talking about better approach, I'm kind of hopeful that we'll see a little bit better Carpenter. He can't see much worse, obviously. And I'm hoping that Fowler's going to do the same, because this the team is hanging in there by the pitching staff, and if the offense can get going, I mean, they haven't buried themselves. They're only what, a game or so out of first place. If they can get this team actually kicked off, they're in good shape. You know, even if they get around the injuries, I mean, losing to Young is going to hurt, and they're going to need Carpenter and Fowler to get going, or at least have this platoon of Fowler, Bader, against lefties and righties, and let that, you know, simmer and get some results there. They're going to have to. I think that, you know, they survived Carpenter long enough, but if he can't make it now, heck, I don't know what they do, but they need to do something.
Yeah, I mean, the track record on all of these guys is too promising to think that they're not going to hit all year. So you think somebody steps up, and you're exactly right. If any one of the three of them get hot, a lot of the deficiencies get covered up a little bit, and you don't hurt, and you don't miss the Young as much as they will right now. But where I feel bad about DeYoung, we say that like he's kind of a flash in the pan, but I think he's coming around to be a really good player. You know, he's a great shortstop. He's a good, good shortstop and getting better. And then he's a solid at bat after his early season struggles. All that said, I mean, you're going to be without that for a while. So one of the three, if not two, if not all, have really need to click at some point. And I just feel like they're going to. And that's, I can be overly optimistic sometimes, but the track record just shows that eventually they're going to hit, and their careers have shown that they can do so. So, and I think you're exactly right. I think you can bide your time with it, the Fowler Bader type situation. Bader has filled that fourth outfield spot great. You know, he injects a little life when he plays. He's a lot better defender than I had thought. Great base runner. You know, those things that whenever he plays, he seems to take it and run with it a little bit, and I think you need to give him his at bat. So I think the chemistry's there to where this could turn around to be a good offense before it's all said and done, which I think it will.
Hopefully so. I guess we'll get a little bit. You can tell me how this works. We're talking here about an improved Carpenter. He's up now with two on and nobody out. So,
I will tell you this. He got doubled up, but he hit a laser right at Santana at first.
Yeah.
So they doubled up Pham. It was one of those. It was hit so hard Pham really couldn't move.
That's just the way this goes. I mean, You know, kind of lucky that they've gotten, you know, five runs tonight, and this wasn't. Because, I mean, like you said, earlier in the game, they hit a double play in the first two innings.
So. Oh, yeah. They've had five runs, three double plays, if that tells you anything. Yeah.
So, this offense may come around. It may not. It has obviously struggled significantly this year, which then gets the question, and we got this from Uncle Frank on Twitter, who's a regular listener to the show, and we appreciate it. But it's a question that also a lot of other people have kind of bandied about a little bit, and that is, you know, John Mabry. What is his job security? Should he be fired? Does it matter if he's fired? Who do you replace him with? You know, everything that goes around this. Now, we have talked, I think the argument for removing Mabry is that we've had this discussion for two or three years now, if not longer, about an offense that doesn't seem to work, to click, doesn't seem to work the way we think it should. An offense that, and at some point in time, yes, the players are the ones that are ultimately responsible for all this, and the coach can only do so much, but at the same time, you saw a significant changeover in staff this off season. I mean, whereas basically everybody changed except the hitting coach. You know, if you think that's enough, if it's important enough to change coaches and all these things and say that's one of your major off season accomplishments, then there's got to be some importance placed on the hitting coach. I don't know. I mean, we also talk about the fact that there's a lot of different hitting coaches in the organization that have a very, very high reputation. You know, why are they stuck in the minors? And John Mabry, who is, I guess, iffy, at least in public opinion. I don't know what the players in the front office thinks about him, but public opinion especially, is very iffy on reputation. He's still here. So, I know you're like me, you're never advocating for somebody to lose their job, but, I mean, when does this enter the conversation?
Well, and you're right. I mean, it's a results-driven business, and that's it. It seems like sometimes that the leash is a little bit long. Now, it's so funny, whenever we got the question today, and you and I were kind of doing some pre-show stuff this afternoon, here's how I feel. Exactly 1 year ago today, I would have sat on here and I would have flat said there's absolutely no way he gets fired. Mm-hmm. But a week after, about a year ago from today, half the staff got turned over. So there was a little bit of urgency. You know, and they saw through that some things needed to change. Now, even with, I feel like the roster turnover and the starting lineup turnover is a big deal with Martinez getting every day at bats, with Ozuna being new to the club, with, you know, that's about it. With Pham moving to the top of the lineup, moving to a center and then Index to right. I know that I'm kind of dancing around the subject here. I think there was enough turnover and enough change to where that's going to buy them some time. If they're struggling in June, there's some changes will need to be made, whether that's on the roster or whether that's in the coaching staff. And I'm not saying that I think they're going to hit before then, but I do think that there may have to be another shakeup, because then you're going to be looking at a third year of battling to hope to get into a wild card spot in the playoffs, and that's just not the Cardinal tradition. So I don't know. We saw last year that they're willing to cut dead weight a little bit. So I don't think he's as safe as I would have about a year ago. I still would be surprised if a change is made, and I'm going to mainly base that on the fact that I do think they will hit at some point.
Yeah, I mean, of course, you know, we've thought that a couple times. We see gameplay today and we think they're turning a corner, and then they'll go another week and not score five runs.
Yeah.
I think it is difficult. I mean, you look at a guy like Marcell Ozuna, and we said, yeah, you know, when the trade was made, hey, he's probably not going to hit 37 home runs again. He's probably not going to be this all-around hitter that he was last year. But, I mean, you could deduct 50% from what Ozuna was last year, and you're still not to where he is this year. You know, overall, he is, and so how much of that is hearing a new approach from a new coach? I don't know. You know, it could be just regression. It could be, you know, over regression, you know, overcompensation. He'll bounce back next year or later on this year. Who knows what he'll actually get hot. But, you know, there's at least, from the outside looking in, it seems fair to ask, he's now working with a new hitting coach and all of a sudden he's not hitting. Mm-hmm. You know, is there a correlation? So I'm kind of like with you with the shakeup last June. It does make you think that they would possibly do that again. And there comes a point, whether it's John Mabry's fault or not, that a new voice has to be heard in that clubhouse, that you've just got to do something to shake things up and give a new point of view in there. You know, I can't even right now remember who the assistant hitting coach is. It's Bill Mueller still, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or did he? No, he moved on, didn't he?
No, he's still with him. Yeah, he took leave last year,
right,
around the time that they fired those coaches,
right?
And we kind of assumed, yeah, but he's been back ever since.
Okay, well, for some reason, I was thinking that he had taken a different job in the off season too, when that whole carousel went around.
Yeah,
but I guess I was thinking of something else. Who left? Oh, it was. Who was the bench coach last year?
Yeah, it was, Bell.
Oh, yeah, David Bell, when he went out to sit in San Francisco. That's what I was thinking of. Anyway, so Bill Buehler, I mean, you know, I don't know. I don't know if that's the, you know, if he, you know, you still got a different view there, because you've rotated assistant coaches a few times. But you're thinking about guys like Mark Badeska at Memphis and the other guy that's down in Palm Beach, you know, that they sent Grichuk to last year.
Yeah.
You've got guys like this. You know, shouldn't they be helping your major? I mean, I get that you want them to working with these young kids, and maybe that's their key. But, you know, at some point in time, shouldn't they be helping the big league club?
Well, I wonder about Badeska quite a bit. I wonder if he would get a shot, because if you remember, he did replace Miller last year, mm-hmm, whenever they had the shakeup. Right. Now I will tell you the name escapes me, and I've even written a piece on him before. You know, the the hitting coach that you're talking to that Grichuk was sent to was actually he's in his 70s. You know, he was the guy that was the head coach at Wake Forest for years, retired, and he was kind of the hitting guru. He was with the Mets and then came over to the Cardinals. He was drafted as a Cardinal way back when, but that was one of those situations to where I think that's one of the, he'll stay to work with the young guys. He probably lives in Florida, probably close, but that's where he went to that school of hitting. But Badaska is the one that's interesting to me. You know, that's, and that may be a situation. I don't know if anybody who doesn't want to be in the big leagues, but if that's, you know, a destined for Memphis type situation, I don't know. But it seems like there are some options out there. But yeah, you're right. I mean, that's interesting. I don't think that it's going to be an issue all season. I think it's blown up right now, but yeah, I mean, until they made the changes last year, I would have thought there was no chance, but it seems like they would be tempted to do something like that again if they're going down the drain.
Yeah, I keep hunting for that guy's name and I still can't find it. Oh, well.
I want to say Poletta, and that's obviously not it. That's it, because I just about said that earlier. He's the team doctor.
Right, George Bell. So, I was thinking it was a kind of a George, too. I'll continue to, just because it's going to bug me now. Anyway, I don't know. Like I said, I just don't. George Greer.
George Greer. Yeah, that's right.
That's who it was. I don't know. It's probably too easy to say it's Mabry's fault, but when you see these struggles, and I think somewhat even, you know, you look at, what was it, 13, when they hit so well in scoring position, and that overshadowed some problems, or you know, kind of hid some of the problems that maybe this team has. But you can look, you know, 15, they won because of the pitching staff. 16, 17, they've missed and haven't hit. It's a long-standing problem, and when it's a long-standing problem and with different players, I think it's very fair to question, you know, the input that they're getting, or if it's getting, you know, the Cardinals had no problem letting Derek Liliquist go, and the pitching staff had, when it struggled for like 1 year, hitting has struggled for quite a while. So I don't know. You're right. I don't see that happening necessarily anytime soon, but if they have another week or two, like they just had, where they're playing some weaker competition and still not hitting, I don't know. If it's, you know, at least maybe a wake-up call to the team, as well as just getting a new voice in there. We'll find
out. Sure. Well, and it's funny. It seems like the first kind of yard marker that the way that the organization views it is around that Memorial Day 1st of June. You know, so things may be reevaluated. I mean, it seems like they do that and then they kind of figure out who they are as a team and then see where they can improve, and that kind of leads up to the break and see how well they play up to the break and how many tires they can kick to see if they can improve from there. And you know, that, so you never know. I don't think it would happen. I agree with you on that. I don't think it's going to. I do think they're going to hit enough to where it won't be an issue all season. But, you know, we are kind of getting into that time, kind of like last year, to where if a change were coming or a shakeup were coming, I could see it happening.
All right. Well, we have gone getting close to an hour and a half, I think, now. Of course, like you said, just going through all the
issues
that surround those are a significant thing. But is there anything that we're missing before we kind of wrap tonight?
I don't think so. I knew that it was a lot of injuries and a lot of injured bats.
Yeah.
And I figured that we'd have a lot of – that would cover a lot of ground for us tonight.
Yeah. Well, Alex Reyes goes tomorrow again. And we talked about this, and maybe I think we probably ought to, you know, reiterate it. And you and I talked about it before the show started. You know, we have seen Alex Reyes just, you know, blow through a couple of, you know, the lower levels, and we'll see how he does tomorrow in Springfield. And it's going to be very exciting to have Alex Reyes back. But we have to remember, I mean, one, this guy's coming off of Tommy John surgery. Two, he had control issues before he had Tommy John surgery. To expect Alex Reyes to be Cy Young when he comes up is asking a little much. And I get excited about him. I get fired up and I think, wow, you know, this is, could be this, you know, we're going to see him go out here and throw seven innings of one run ball on a regular basis. It, you know, the Cardinals want to, I think the Cardinals are starting him because they want to make sure he has a significant number of innings for the end of the year. But, you know, he's not going out. He's going to be probably a five-inning pitcher for the most part. And, you know, hopefully those are days where he is just giving up one or two runs. There may be days where he gives up four or five. It's hard. We want to, and I kind of think I'm speaking for a lot of people, you know, like I said, including myself, we want to put him as this, you know, here he comes, here's this ace. He may not be there yet. I think it's wise to temper some expectations on him.
Yeah, that's, just like I said, or what we were talking before the show, I think he's going to be a huge shot in the arm just to be on the roster and to be back. I think that'll really help him. But you're right. I mean, we've seen everybody that's returned from Tommy John, they do have their struggles. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think it's a very good sign that he's hitting triple digits already. But you're right. You know, he had control issues, you know, before he got hurt. So coming back on a basic, you know, a little over a year out from Tommy John, I think you're going to have some issues with that. So don't expect Max Scherzer, but expect, you know, one of the better Cardinal starters.
Yeah, hopefully so. And again, the starting rotation has a chance to be very, very good. With a guy like Flaherty just waiting for somebody to have a misstep or at this mm-hmm. rate somebody get hurt. But you know, it should be pretty interesting to see how things look at this time next month. So all right, well, like I said, the Cardinals are leading in the fifth. Walker came back out, seems to be okay, so mm-hmm. that's a good sign. Alan and I will be with you probably next week. It will be Memorial Day weekend, and we'll see where the Cardinals are there and take a real good look at that. And hopefully they're playing some good ball. If the Cardinals have this series with the Phillies, and then it looks like is that the Royals coming up next?
Mm-hmm.
Followed by the Pirates next weekend. So you gotta do something against these teams, and not get too far back as we get to May and June, and hopefully the bats warm up as the weather does. So until then, though, that's Alan and I'm Daniel. Good night.
Shooter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss, and that's a winner! That's a winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!